Hey, little stinkers, enjoy this public version of Second Wind, our bonus show where we deep dive into player decisions, world questions, and more from Tales from the Stinky Dragon podcast. Until we figure out the future of the show, any upcoming premium content is going to be free to everyone, so thank you for supporting the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Second Wind, the extra bonus show where we talk a little more stinky. We get a little stinkier. My name is Gustavo Cirola, Blurble Gerble. I'm your dungeon master. I have two friends joining me today.
I'm Chris Demers, and I play Barney Furney.
I'm John Rice here. I play the bird.
I hear it's the word.
It is the word.
He caw.
No.
Mateed doesn't caw. Mateed chirps. As always.
Actually, I don't know what sound shrikes make. I have to look it up.
Okay. We take questions from the community in Discord and social media to talk about. Before we get to that, though, normally we'd like to do a little recap, a little rehash of this episode. A lot happening, a lot going on in the world of Grotesque.
My favorite part was Blaine making a song.
I forgot about that already.
That was my favorite. That was the highlight.
Oh, I loved that he was digging himself in the hole like, oh, I was in choir. I can read music. I was like, well, little does he know, I've got music right in front of me.
Yeah.
I think he forgets that you and Micah both are very musically inclined.
Micah more than me. And, but yes. I've dabbled.
So it was like, ooh, okay. Keep digging that hole, Blaine, because we're about to jump on in.
It's funny is that when we got in that room, I was like, you know, you rattled off all the stuff that was in that room. And I was like, clearly, the pool of blood's probably the most important thing. I was like, the fireplace is a little mysterious. Maybe it is. I'm like, it's probably nothing to do with the piano, but I really want the piano to do something because I like pianos a lot. And you were like, it's dusty. And I was like, I hope we get to play it.
And you did.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Was there anything, do you all even remember, was there anything in that room that you didn't get to explore that you wanted to? Because there was a lot in that room, and I feel like we kind of very...
There was like a couch or a cushion or something?
Yeah, there was some like cushioned seating in the middle of the room.
I think that was it, right?
I wanted to see what happened if we put out the fire.
I don't know for a fact. I probably would have deferred to Micah, who sits next to me. I assume it would probably reignite itself.
Just did an escape room recently, and in the escape room, we went through a fireplace after we did the puzzle, so I was very prepared for this fireplace to open up for us to go through.
There was the entrance, the sofas, the bath, a desk,
piano,
the painting, the fireplace, and the vein rack.
Yeah. Oh, there's a vein rack. Mm-hmm.
So there was a bit there. I felt like there were a few things left undiscovered in that room.
I was dead set on that wine being poisoned of some kind.
I know.
I was so set.
Alcohol is a type of poison.
It's true. You all focused on that, and I was slacking Mike. I said, or, you know, he could be passed out drunk based on context clues.
I think after, because you said he was in this, like, mysterious room. The room was in shambles, mirrors cracked, tub pulled, like, piled over, something written on the mirror. People don't, like, write things on cracked mirrors in, like, red substances in when they're not in dismay.
What you described was a crime scene.
That's what it was. So we were in that space.
Conversely, the Von Brath household was also in a very similar status when you entered.
We're on edge. Like the everything's in shambles, and the armor was on the ground, and his painting was shredded, and you know, it was all there. And then he did a medicine check that wasn't the best medicine check ever, but like nothing came of it. And so
there was quite a bit to get through there. I was wondering how this episode would pace out, because there was a lot to go through in general in the Feng Pick. You know, you did the Sepulcher, Capillary, and Silver in last episode. And then, so all we're really left with this episode was pretty much just Dracula's, home and the belfry, like the bell tower, all of this stuff. I was like, I wonder if they're going to blow through this like really quickly, or if they're really going to go out and explore. And I thought it was like just about the right amount of time that you all spent investigating, even though there was some stuff left undiscovered.
I thought it was a fun little like investigate. It didn't feel like we were ever like hitting our heads against the wall, you know. Mm-hmm. Like,
y'all really clued in very quickly to the secret passage. I thought it would take a little longer and y'all would be fumbling around the room a bit.
We did that too, but I was good turn on that reveal at the end.
Yeah, it was unexpected twist. I was wondering, like, they're not. No one's going to ask what happened to Hugo or where Hugo went. Like when they're in that questioning with Dracula,
I would have gotten more. But
I thought Hugo was Vixie.
Gotcha.
I would have. Gotcha. I would have had more questions, and that's why I think, I think Barney had a lot of questions, and that's why he snapped at Elga, because he's finally getting an opportunity to find some answers.
Yeah. I think the party, I can't speak for Barbara, obviously. Mm-hmm. She's not here. I don't know what she was thinking. I think her motivation may have been she was afraid Barney would become so angry he would just kill Dracula without thinking, like just let the rage overcome.
Yeah.
Which I think, based on the way Barney was played, is a very valid concern.
Yeah, I mean, it's a valid concern, but also it's like an
I thought you were going to kill Dracula. To be honest, like sitting in my seat, I was like, okay, so Barney's going to shoot Dracula. How is this going to play out? I was trying to figure out the contingencies for that too. So it could have gone from an outside perspective. It could have gone either way.
And then I think from a character perspective, the way Elga responded, well, you didn't do anything. I think that hurts Barney very deeply in a deep manner, like in a way that like his biggest insecurity, his biggest regret in life.
I feel like we even heard Barney talk about that before when he had the vision.
Yeah.
Back in Parrish, I think.
Yeah. So I think that's like that really hurt him on an emotional level. So there was him trying to finally get answers, and then he felt like Elga was trying to stop him from getting the answers, and then also then was cutting him like at his most emotional core, in a way that was like really just like.
So Barney's a very sensitive, not people person.
I think he's a people person who had his people taken.
Mm. Okay, fair.
Does that make sense? You know, like by nature he is, but you know, has that's why I think whenever he had his own memory, you know, when he had a harder time remembering things, he was got along with everyone and very liked to talk and very friendly. I think that's his like. More of his actual, you know, more of his true nature, and then like.
So I'm curious to see, like, as time goes on, and I don't know, and you know, we'll see where you don't. Please don't answer this. I don't want to spoil anything that you may have in mind. But I'm curious to see as time goes on, as Barney remembers more, if that continues to change in that direction, or if it reverts, or if like if there is any outcome that Barney would be satisfied with entirely. Don't answer. Yeah. Don't react. That's just me talking and wondering out loud. What I do want you to answer, though, is some questions submitted by the audience. Splendy the Tire God sent in a question asking, what, if any, would your character's theme song be? And they gave examples like the Benny Hill theme, Another One Bites the Dust, which are two very different songs.
These sound like less about theme songs and more like, what's your wrestling entrance?
Yeah. The same thing.
Because when I think of theme songs, I was actually just thinking about theme songs this weekend because I was like, I have kids and I'm like, I feel like I grew up in the era of peak cartoon theme songs of all these catchy tunes like DuckTales and Gummy Bears and Darkwing Duck and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of the modern stuff isn't as lyrical as that. Like there's like not a jingle to it. There's still some catchy stuff like Bluey's very catchy and that kind of thing. But entrance music or like theme song of like, you know, what's your Rocky going up the stairs thing. I kind of like the idea of like Queen being something Matisse entrance music. I don't know. That's a very good question.
Well, I would say, what kind of specific song? Because Queen has such a wide range to their catalog.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I guess it'd make more sense if I picked an Eagles song.
I'd like to think Hotel California, of course, for Matisse.
You have. I feel like you have good taste in music. Can you think of a good one for Matisse?
That would be tough.
Same with Barnaby.
I feel like Matisse, you could almost go in a different way rather than, you know, like the Queen or the Eagles or anything like that. I would almost think like the organ piece, like the from Phantom of the Opera, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very good. Because then it gets into the rock part of that song. Oh, that's so good.
I kind of think that for Matisse. I don't know if it's John's musical theater influence affecting my brain, though.
Dude, that CD was my first CD I owned. That says a lot about me, I think, at this point. But like, I genuinely listened to that soundtrack with Micah can attest to this because we shared a room until I moved out for college. like going to bed. Going to bed listening to some Phantom of the Opera, which is also not a very good like lullaby thing to do. Because it's a lot, there's a lot of dynamics to the thing.
We like wake you up.
Yeah, it's just hearing Michael Crawford like screaming at us.
I mean, I would go to bed listening to like No Effects. Like, punk, you know, loud.
And that's where the nightmares came from.
Yeah.
For Barney.
Disneyland Haunted Mansion theme song, final answer.
Oh, that's good. I would think almost like Sweet Child of Mine. Well, one for the children, and two also at the end.
Three Dog Night. One is the loneliest.
Oh, whoa, that's a good one. But I do like at the end of Sweet Child of Mine, the Where Do We Go? Where do we go now? Like,
or who is that? That's not Pixies. It's Where Is My Mind?
That's Pixies. Oh. That's Pixies. Yeah, that's
where
a good
is
one.
My mind?
That's
those
Barney.
Are good. Yeah, I like that. Let's go with that one.
That's
pretty
good.
Where Is My Mind?
He's like just wandering through town.
Yeah, so Sleepy Shaman asks, can we get a check-in on your inventory? What we got in there? Anything anything surprising?
Genuinely, I'm trying to use my inventory more. Which is why like I pulled out the Mort apples.
Oh, right.
To put into that little barrels.
The casks, yeah.
I have the Bard Brownie.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got that in there. I still have... I don't know what it was. The thing that we got in Carcassouk, he kept talking about his baboon jar. I have my jar still.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I don't even know what it
baboon
is.
Baboon jar.
He had the jar of the baboon, and it like gave him bonuses.
Yeah, you use it in Parrish. I think it helped you climb or something, if I remember right.
I did.
No, not
Blaine
him. Sorry,
did.
Not him. Blaine. Chip, yeah. Blaine. Sorry, I was pointing to where Blaine normally sits. Apologies. I think that might be the only consumables I still... I know... I do have one, and I don't want to remind people I have it because I want to pull it out at an interesting time.
Okay.
I'm trying to be much better, and I'm putting things in as we get it, and I'm checking my inventory constantly, which is where I like, even recently, I was like, I keep waiting for you to do something where I can use it. I have the neckerchief that I bought.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I can use that. I can use that. I have a lot of stuff in there.
What is that one?
That's something we bought in
Vania. Yeah.
And it gives... It's like a damage reducer of some kind.
Okay.
It's like, I can't remember what it's called, like the neckerchief of the undead or something like that, but it gives me some sort of like damage reduction.
I feel like you also used something recently, didn't you, Chris?
I used my telepathic like messenger thing to talk to Mateed where I have to wrap it.
Right. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. There's one that one consumable that I have that I have a plan for if it comes up. But I don't know if I want to say.
Okay, fair enough.
But it's relevant to this episode. I was almost gonna use it in this episode.
So I'm so bad at. I mean, I'm playing Midnight Suns right now, and it has a mechanic where you can make like two different kinds of consumables. And I've made a ton, and I'm still very bad at using them constantly. Even though I can keep remaking them and use them, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I have to hoard.
That's any. RPG video games like that, where you end up finishing the game, you got just like pages of inventory. Like, oh yeah, I thought that was going to be useful at one point. I forgot that would have been useful in the fight 5 hours ago, but
there's
I totally forgot I had it.
There's got to be a word that's crafted for that shared experience of like the fear of using something before it's useful.
Yeah, you know, I tried to be better about that. I'm sure you've probably heard, like, whenever in video games, whenever Gavin finds like a big powerful weapon, he immediately uses it. It becomes his primary weapon until it's done. He doesn't want to save it or hold on to it and never use it. So it's immediately use it as soon as you can.
Especially if you get some consumable and it's like, oh, this is like the best healing item, you know, that I have. And then later on in the game, they're just commonplace.
Yeah.
Like, man,
it's nothing. Yeah. Not valuable anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's definitely a shared experience.
That's something to answer the question of like, how have you grown as a player this campaign, John? Inventory. I am being better. I didn't track nothing for mud.
I do think we have, maybe it's just because this isn't as long of a campaign, we don't have as many items.
I think maybe also Micah isn't dropping them as much.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
left her link from the first one.
Yeah. There's not as many overall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like the upgrade items function we do.
That's fun. You know, you get it and you keep
like
it.
I got my spear out of stuff like that.
It's like new stuff. I'm going to do one more question here before we wrap up. The Blind Lemon is asking, have you guys ever considered having guests in as a temp player, like an NPC that follows the party?
We've talked about it. I think it's something we're open to the idea of. If it would just, I think, need to be complimentary to the story and not feel like it was like a shoehorned in, where it's like, oh, now there's this, you know, random person coming in. But if it was something that we could like have in, and I think it could be fun.
Yeah.
Ideally, what I would love to do, and I'm going to speak in the tense of, this is not at all what we are going to do. This is not at all what we can do. But this is something that if John had his druthers, and there's a world where we continue to make this show, and let's say we're living in a world where everything is going the same trajectory we were planning at the beginning of this year, as far as like the show.
In a world.
to mimic other shows that have done this is be able to do like smaller campaigns or mini campaigns with a guest.
Oh yeah.
Because I worry that like in a main campaign, like it's the main show and you want to make sure you see your main characters, your main people. So I don't want to see, you know, like Barbara would like be temporarily replaced by somebody because people will want to see Barbara. And I know that as a podcast listener and as a fan of other D&D shows, if the person's not there, it's very different. It's not the main show I'm looking for.
Right.
But I like a good example is one of the first times I ever experienced that was that Adventure Zone, because they became good buddies with Lin-Manuel. They had Lin-Manuel actually do a one-shot with them, and he was an addition to them, and it was a fun new dynamic. I was like, I wouldn't want this to be the main show, but this was fun to see a friend. And we have so many friends, you know, that are also talented, you know, performers and D&D players and that kind of thing. I would absolutely love that. And so, I'm trying to become, you know, work on my DM-ness, and I would love to like add people into like that kind of world that way.
For sure. And I think one of the things that we have, like, to kind of bounce off of what you're saying, one of the things I think we have going for us as an ensemble is that we've all known each other for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we can all play off of each other. I do want to guess, but I do worry, like, if you introduce one that's has a little too much agency, that they don't have that same interaction with everyone else.
Here's the pitch. We all take a road trip and do a mini campaign in Georgia with my mom.
And you film it as you craft items. You build puppets and do a campaign
at the
same time.
That's one of the puzzles. That's one of the puzzles in the campaign.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Second Wind. Once again, thank you so much for watching and for supporting the show. And find out what happens. We'll see you next time.
Next week.
I think John invited us to Christmas.
Christmas.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
They'd say yes.